Right now, it is 59 here at WBOB. Here are the stories we're looking at this morning. A Tallahassee judge is declaring Florida's 24-hour abortion waiting period unconstitutional and is permanently blocking enforcement of the law. Governor Rick Scott signed the waiting period into law back in 2015. The Trump administration has reversed course on drilling off the coast of Florida. The Trump administration says when it comes to drilling off Florida and the Gulf of Mexico, it's now off the table. Though the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the playoffs, Sports Illustrated is reporting the NFL still had a disastrous weekend when it comes to ratings. Bills-Jaguars game was down 10% versus last year's Dolphins-Steelers game. And President Trump met with a bipartisan gathering of House and Senate leaders on the DACA issue, signaling he's willing to compromise with Democrats in order to get something passed.
AM 600, FM 101.1, hour number 3. Good morning, I'm Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. That's Ed, D-E-A-N. It's not Jimmy, and it's not Ted Bean, okay? Somebody, anyway.
What's the sausage company? Who's that?
Jimmy Dean.
Jimmy, brother? Relative, anything?
Dizzy.
Okay.
I was related to Dizzy. 222-8255. So let's get into it. President, one of our big issues we're covering today, President Trump yesterday met with a bipartisan gathering of House and Republican and Democrat leaders on the what to do with the issue of DACA. John Roberts says this probably goes a little bit more into phases. Then you've got DACA dealing with the Dreamers Act, and then you may have a immigration comprehensive reform bill on top of that.
The president went into the meeting demanding security provisions, a wall, an end to chain migration, ending the visa lottery, and more ICE agents in return for a DACA fix. White House officials say that after the cameras left, the president reached agreement with the two sides to do immigration in two phases. The first, DACA, including border security, an end to chain migration, and the visa lottery. Then second, comprehensive immigration reform.
Take your pick, but President Trump, when he met with the gathering yesterday of bipartisan leaders, he says, just send me a bill. Just send me something. And he says, then I will sign it.
When this group comes back, hopefully with an agreement, this group and others from the Senate, from the House, comes back with an agreement, I'm signing it. I mean, I will be signing it. I'm not going to say, oh, gee, I want this or I want that. I'll be signing it because I have a lot of confidence in the people in this room that you're going to come out with something really good.
Question is you out there listening to the show, do you have a lot of confidence of the people in that room? President Trump says when it comes to this bill, dealing with those that are here, the children, which are no longer children anymore, ages 18 to 40 now, of DACA, the recipients out there, that this bill should, where have you heard this before, this bill should be a quote about a bill of love.
I feel having the Democrats in with us is absolutely vital because this should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love, and we can do that.
Question, Roger Henderson. Again, if you want it, you talk about protecting people. You talk about border security, making sure there is no illegal immigration, make sure you protect Americans first. I'm just asking the argument here. How do you address this as a bill of love?
Honestly, I believe this was political posturing so that the president could get some Democrats to work with him because he knows he's got, you know, people who don't really like him very much on that side of the aisle.
Even on some of the Republican side. But if there's going to be a base, whether it's the Democrats, and really is this the big issue for the Democrats? Is this a big issue for the Republicans? Remember, one of the reasons why that a lot of people, independents and some Democrats along with Republicans, elected Donald Trump because he says he was going to deal with this issue of DACA. If this goes down to a full blanket or semi-blanket of amnesty, what will happen to the GOP base? From Axios, here was Jonathan Swan talking about this very issue.
Right, but the Republican leaders are still paralyzed with fear of alienating the base and alienating members who don't want to give amnesty without really big concessions in terms of a wall.
Now, he says amnesty with big concessions. Here's a question I want to ask you at 222-TALK, 222-8255, one of them. Then are you willing to concede? I understand you do not want to have an amnesty. Who does in some cases? But here's the question. It's the reality world. If it's the art of the deal with Trump, you need a compromise just on DACA. The question is, what do you concede? Do you give a semi-blanket amnesty? Do you go back to something like the Gang of Eight where you make them come out of the shadows and pay a bill, pay a fine? What do you do? Or do you sit back and say, okay, I just want a border wall? Well, what if the border wall's not enough? What else do you compromise? I mean, we know the Dems don't want to compromise, period. That's a given. So that means somebody's going to have to compromise. So if the Republicans are willing to get something in their own favor, then what do you say? Do you sit back and say, fine, I wanted to defund sanctuary cities. I want to put a border wall, not a fence, but a border wall, Roger. I want to have E-Verify. What else are we talking about? Give me another one. I'm trying to think here. I got my whole list in front of me here. What else? Oh, we want to take the worst of the worst out of the area. So where do you compromise if there's going to be a compromise? I want to know what you think. 222-TALK, 222-8255, or is that not even within your ballpark? So
it's a big issue. And waiting around the horizon, you know, fast forward 10, 20 years from now, I think the Democrats are hoping that they will benefit from being the party that was, quote, kind to the Hispanic immigrants when they came in, and hoping to paint the Republicans as the group that was not so kind, and then hope to get that as a voting block for generations to come.
We've had fun. Some of the emails that, Ed, if there's any dreamers in this whole bill, it's the Republicans, by thinking if they pass this, they're going to get a lot of Hispanic vote.
Yeah, it's pretty much, I don't think that's going to happen, you know, my opinion, but, you know, who knows. But I think that there are some Hispanic politicians who are trying to at least reach out.
And by the way, there is this myth that if you are Hispanic, that you automatically vote, or Latino, vote for Democrats. What about the Cubans, big population in South Florida, that love the Republicans down there? But the question is, do you buy into the argument that you have to deport everybody, or is that not sane enough? Here was Pat Buchanan on PBS.
String it out. Nobody was going to deport these people first. You go after the criminals, the felons, the others. Get rid of those sanctuary cities and all that.
Is Pat Buchanan an amnesty man now?
No, but I just say, in terms of deportations, you don't go after people who are relatively harmless, who are doing work in the society. You go after the worst first.
You go after the worst first. Now, not only for Republicans, but Democrats have also flip-flopped on this issue. Here was Chuck Schumer back in 2009 when Barack H. Obama was president. This guy, listen to this. He sounds like Donald Trump right here.
People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally. The American people will never accept immigration reform unless they truly believe that their government is committed to ending future illegal immigration.
You could have taken out Chuck Schumer's name, Roger, and thrown in Donald Trump's right there. Listen to that.
When I first heard that clip, I'm saying, what? That's Schumer's voice. Because I'm busy doing things, and I'm kind of listening with, you know, not with full attention sometimes. I heard that clip. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Why are you not listening with full attention?
Screening calls, getting the news ready.
So here's another one. I know there's others out there that aren't having full attention. Here's another one that sounds like, this is back in 2006. Listen, this voice you should know right away, who possibly sounds like Donald Trump.
Those who enter our country legally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law. And because we live in an age where terrorists are challenging our borders, we cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked.
That was Senator Barack H. Obama back in 2006.
Sounds like the Twilight Zone at this morning.
What's that Netflix series? Black Mirror? I don't know. Yeah, the Twilight Zone. Yeah, but I mean, I'm totally. It is. And yet, you've got Democrats that mention the word rule of law, and Tucker Carlson points out, as he did last night, that why is it that every time, it doesn't matter what decision you'd say, but you talk about the rule of law, dealing about those that are here illegally, and you're automatically labeled a racist.
Because what you're doing, rather than engage in an adult argument using reason, you're accusing people you disagree with of bigotry, which is a little much, actually, considering that you're demanding that Americans who were born here let in people who snuck in illegally and all their family, and if they say anything about it, they're racist.
You know, that has been a typical norm. If you don't like for example, the state of North Carolina is going to redo the voting rights, that was, quote, gerrymandered by the Republicans. Okay, it probably has Republicans do it too, but somehow that was based on race. That if this is done, this is based on race. I mean, everything, the race argument is thrown around too easy that nobody buys into it anymore. And what if it's truly plausible?
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part. When you throw it around too much and it's not true, when a real issue of racism comes up, someone says, oh, that's just the race card, and they won't give it any legitimate consideration.
222-TALK, 222-8255. The questions I want to ask you this morning, if there's going to be a compromise, is the border wall enough? Many of you say no. What about those that are already here? Should you just deport them? Do you give them amnesty? Do you sit back and give them amnesty with certain strings attached? Do you sit back and say, fine, they need to start paying taxes, you can't live off the dole, we need to have E-Verify, defund sanctuary cities, no benefits, we need to have assimilation? If you're going to compromise, and there's going to be a compromise, Roger, it's reality world. If you're going to compromise, the question is, Where, if you got to have a winner or loser and you want something in your favor, what do you compromise on?
I feel having the Democrats in with us is absolutely vital because this should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love, and we can do that.
A bill of love. 222-TALK. 222-8255. And when you hear President Trump talk like this, what's your first impression? Do you think he's playing the Dems, or do you think he really wants... the Never Trumpers would say he's shown his true colors. You got to see the emails I'm getting on that. 222-TALK, 222-8255, FM 101.1. Your phone call's coming up next. FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Busy on the roads this morning. I-295 going north from State Road 9B to Bay Meadows Road. There's lots of backup, and we're looking at a crash involving several cars at 295 North at 103rd Street.
Mike Gallagher next at 9. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Lots of rain today with a high around 70, more rain this evening, a low around 60. Right now, it is 63 here at WBOB, and here are the stories we're following this morning. A Tallahassee judge is declaring Florida's 24-hour abortion waiting period unconstitutional and is permanently blocking enforcement of the law. Governor Rick Scott signed the waiting period into law back in 2015. The Trump administration has reversed course on drilling off the coast of Florida. The Trump administration says when it comes to drilling off Florida and the Gulf of Mexico, it's now off the table. Though the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the playoffs, Sports Illustrated is reporting the NFL still had a disastrous weekend when it came to ratings. The Bills-Jaguars game is down 10% versus last year's Dolphins-Steelers game. And President Trump met with a bipartisan gathering of House and Senate leaders on the DACA issue, signaling he's willing to compromise with Democrats in order to get something passed.
FM 101.1 AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB. I'm Ed Dean with Roger Henderson, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Florida Circuit Judge Terry Lewis yesterday says that a 2015 law that was signed into by Governor Rick Scott is an permissible intrusion of privacy rights that are contained in the Florida Constitution. He pretty much struck down declaring that Florida's 24-hour waiting abortion period is unconstitutional, and then he wants to block the law permanently. 222-TALK, 222-8255. The Florida Supreme Court last year temporarily blocked it from the law taking effect. This was pretty much picked up by the ACLU on behalf of a Gainesville abortion clinic. Is this judicial activism, or is this something that needed to be done? It's the term of the right of privacy. Again, not in the Constitution, but has been inserted in the 14th Amendment, but the states want to do something with it. We have some of the amendments, Roger, we have a 24-hour waiting period. We've had a parental consent notice, which has to deal with time. Judges have to become involved. Is this intrusion into the privacy? Kind of an interesting debate on that issue as well. 222-TALK, 222-8255, the email address, at WBOB.com. So let's get to the phones. Let's go with George first. He's been waiting patiently. George, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, good morning. I agree with a number of the things, like no welfare, you verify, get rid of the criminals first.
Right.
But along with all of the things they're going to do, we think that certainly the Republicans want, why not set up some system so that people will self-deport? I've worked in Latin America. I've talked to people who are both legal and illegal immigrants. And the legal ones come up. They want to make money, go back and build a house, set up a little business, whatever. To a large degree, the illegals just want the welfare and they want citizenship. And why not make it more of an incentive for them to go back than to stay here? And that's two ways. I was part of a group of people who both sold and set up and put into running American technology and equipment. And why not say, okay, you work for one of these American companies overseas back in your country or a similar country for a year. And if the company's happy with the way you act and the way you do things, we'll get you citizenship. And the other thing is, just give them the welfare money to leave. Give them $20,000 to leave and not come back and say, you come back, you're going to jail.
Self-deportation. You know, Mitt Romney brought up that very issue. Is it plausible? I will say this, that there are things that lead to self-deportation. I would ask Roger, in the state of Oklahoma a few years back during the Great Recession, there were reports they stopped no more welfare for illegal aliens, no more health care for illegal aliens. And they pretty much, because of the jobs, too, they self-deported.
Yeah. I don't think Americans, by and large, have the heart to see kids go without food here in our country. But I do believe...
Do you honestly believe there's a lot of kids without... Come on. I hear these stories of all these thousands of homeless kids without food. Well, how are they getting to school then?
Yeah. I don't know. But here's what I do believe: the self-deportation, a good argument would be to see what we can do to work with Mexico, maybe to force partnerships economically to create jobs in Mexico. There's a lot of oil in Mexico that can be drilled. Why not work out a deal where Americans can get down there who have experience working maybe with the shale drilling in North Dakota and some of the oil rigging and that goes on up the Gulf of Mexico, to get jobs in Mexico, working with some of the Mexicans, creating jobs for them as well there, and they don't have to come here to get money.
So
they can make money there.
What you're saying, instead of self-deportation, we need to have self-exportation.
Well, some Americans, you know, leading the way so that we benefit as well, but it creates jobs and opportunity in Mexico so they don't have to come here.
I got certain people I saw from the Grammys the other night I'd love to export. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go to Robert. I wish some of these people would self-deport. Robert, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Morning. Great show, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think maybe the Republicans need to kind of box the Democrats in a little. I mean, Dreamers probably way down the list on having to deport.
Right.
Give them what they want. Kind of say, you know, okay, you're not going to be deported. Even access to government programs, just limit the right to vote for them. And so, you know, that way you could kind of box them in and say, do you really care about them, or are you looking for the vote? Just do it like a felon, you know. You get everything except the right to vote.
You know what? Exactly. That's a chess game that you're playing right there, Robert.
I mean, you know, you could be able. You'd have to be brave enough to push it to them and say, you know, are you really looking out for the kids, or are you looking for that vote?
But Robert, hold on, Robert. Let me
accept the vote.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say that was on the table. You can get all the welfare benefits you want. We're not going to deport you and give you amnesty, but you cannot vote. The Democrats,
right.
You'd call their bluff. They never go for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get access to welfare, you get the whole nine yards, because really, to me, the Dreamers aren't the fight you want to, you know, they're going to put you in a bad light every way you go. If you give them everything,
that's right,
except the right to vote, you know, what could the Democrats say? But, hey, we want the vote. You know, we don't want the people, we want the vote.
Yeah, Robert says limit the right to vote. Well, I mean, the Dems would never, ever vote in favor of that. And again, as I, you know, some of you have been emailing me this morning at WBOB.com. The only Dreamers that are in this whole access are the Republicans. They're dreaming. They think that they're going to pass an amnesty and get support by those of the Hispanic community.
Why can't we have some member of Congress, you know, put forth Robert's idea? I think it's a great idea.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it has. I think it's just probably been shot down by leadership.
Mm.
I mean, you think, yeah, let's just put it that way. They're not always the most conservative group of guys up there. But, you know, but it's like the other side with impeachment. A lot of liberals have shot that down. You know, they think that they want to do it, but, you know, think they can garner, you know, all this other, you know, elected officials. Then they'll try to maybe pull that stunt next year if they win the House. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go to JC. JC, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. I wanted to first, I was going to chime in on the right to life issue.
Yeah, go ahead.
That you had where there, but I also want to first, before I say that, I wanted to say that I think E-Verify, if that ever comes into law, we would basically develop a Gestapo state, because everybody would have to have their papers. Where right now, and when you live in a free society, you can walk around. You do not have to have ID. If you're walking around in society, you do not have to have an ID on you. If you're driving a car, yeah, it's a different thing. But when you're walking around, you don't have to have an ID in a free society, and that's constitutionality there. The other thing is on the right to life. Yeah, that's the way it is.
I'm not disagreeing on the premise, but the overall reality world is I have to have my papers on me 24/7.
No, you don't.
Sure,
you
know, I do. I got a gun. I got to have my papers.
Talk to a criminal defense lawyer here in Jacksonville.
No.
Definitely correct.
Talk to a constitutional lawyer who will back me up on that, who doesn't work with the ACLU. You need papers on you 24/7, and if you don't, in many cases, if you have a gun, you're buying something whatsoever, I'm just trying to tell you, they're always asking for ID. I'm not saying it's being forced by law, but it is a smart way that you always need it for those type of purposes.
You only have to have it when you're driving a car. If you're walking the streets, you don't have any gun or anything like that, citizen walking the streets, you do not have to have an ID on you. Okay?
By law, you're correct, but by other standards, you need it on you.
Okay. Yes, you're right. Okay, there are some instances, but some you don't. Okay, so the right to life thing, the whole pro-choice movement is trying to get this pro-life thing going. It's not pro-life. It's right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, according to the Declaration of Independence and of our Constitution, which is part of our Constitution. People try to chop it up and say it isn't, but it is. So I don't see how they can say it's unconstitutional when that baby that's in that lady's room womb has the same right to life as she does. And there's three people in the equation. There's a father, the mother, and the child in any birth that's going on. So I just don't think this judge has thought it through.
I think, you know, Pat Kilbane comes on the show, says, you know, he's a lawyer, says there's a lot of judicial activism going on here. And you make an interesting point. Many states, unfortunately, do not believe that the baby inside the womb has any type of unalienable rights. So but here's the question, JC. Do you make this as a federal law, or do you leave it to the states on this issue?
Well, the thing about abortion, it is actually murder, and according to the Constitution, murder is supposed to be handled by the states. I don't know why the federal government ever got involved with Roe v. Wade, because I guess they didn't think it was murder by killing an unborn baby. But it should never be handled by the federal in the first place.
I would agree.
The federal does not handle death sentences. That's supposed to be handled by the state.
All right, JC, man, appreciate the call. Should be a lot of people think there should be a constitutional amendment. Should it be left to the states? 222-8255 Oh, we just got a 30-second one. We just got to do. Is that it? Okay, let's go take some more calls. Let's go to who do you want to go with next? You want to go with Jack? Jack, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm okay. I got one quick thing to say about DACA and the Dreamers. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Do them last. Do the border wall first. Secure the borders first. Do DACA last. Because if you do it first, the Democrats are going to say, oh, what are you talking about? We're not going to do nothing about the border wall.
Right.
We got what we want. They did that to Reagan. Reagan gave 3 million illegal aliens amnesty. There was supposed to be a secured border after that. The border, 40 years later, is still wide open.
So you're saying let's play role reversal.
Yeah, do DACA last. That's what the Democrats want. Fine, you can have it last. Once we get the wall built, once we got everything that we want, then you can have DACA.
You know,
otherwise,
I didn't, right.
You can't.
You know, it's interesting on this issue. I mean, of all the important issues, I mean, Trump ran on doing something about DACA, and whatever your position is, at least addressing the issue. And if we got infrastructure, we got to get health care, we got to take care of it. How does this rank on the economy? I mean, how does this even rank on the top several issues? And it doesn't. 222-8255 Let me squeeze in. We got plenty of time to take calls. Let me squeeze in another one. Let's go to 222-8255 Go ahead and hit that one. Let's go to Joe. Joe, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, listen, I just looked up about election laws and rules in this country, okay? And it says in order to vote, you have to be a natural-born citizen or a naturalized citizen. You know, you have to go through the process of being, getting, you know,
right.
Becoming a citizen. Okay, my question is, if they have this law in the books, why are they discussing that illegals have the right to vote or not right to vote? The law is there, right there. I Googled it up. The law is right there.
Well, you know, can I ask you another question? If they have the right, well, okay, they don't have the right to vote, but they have, I mean, they're obtaining other benefits out there as well. I know there's a difference between rights and benefits. My question is, how are they able to obtain all these other benefits then?
Yeah, how can they get the benefits? And then the main thing is, like the other caller said a few minutes ago about, you know, their voting rights and the Democrats want their vote, okay? And because I remember my grandparents, they came from Europe. They came from Poland and my grandma and Italy, both, you know. And I remember my Italian grandfather talking. When he came over, they had to take their citizenship test,
right.
Take their literacy test. And the thing is, the law says you can't vote unless you were born here or you're a naturalized citizen. So, I mean, how can they even give them the right to vote if the law is right there?
Yeah, I know that they don't necessarily talk about that because then they would invite investigations into voter fraud out there, which we know does exist. I mean, there's many avenues that exist with it without just dealing with illegal immigrants, but that's kind of an interesting question right there. More question. I mean, I don't know. Are they voting if they're here legally? They shouldn't be.
Yeah, if they're not a U.S. citizen, they should not be voting. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, those are the first people I would nail. I mean, them using my benefits and my health care is one thing, But them to have a right, because to vote is a right, to get health care is not a right.
And they're U.S. citizens who have committed crimes who can't vote, and these guys are illegally in voting while.
222-TALK, your phone call's coming up next. 222-TALK, 222-8255, FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Here at WBOB, and here are the stories we're following this morning. A Tallahassee judge is declaring Florida's 24-hour abortion waiting period unconstitutional and is permanently blocking enforcement of the law. Governor Rick Scott signed the waiting period into law in 2015. The Trump administration has reversed course on drilling off the coast of Florida. The Trump administration says when it comes to drilling off Florida and the Gulf of Mexico, it's now off the table. Though the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the playoffs, Sports Illustrated is reporting the NFL still had a disastrous weekend when it came to ratings. Bills and Jaguars game was down 10% versus last year's Dolphins-Steelers game. And President Trump met with a bipartisan gathering of House and Senate leaders on the DACA issue, signaling he's willing to compromise with Democrats in order to get something passed.
I feel having the Democrats in with us is absolutely vital, because this should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love, and we can do that.
You know, if the liberal left says that there's something wrong mentally with Trump, I was like, no, there isn't. But after hearing that, I'm like, what's going on here? I kid. I'm not thinking there's anything mentally wrong with the president. I'm just kidding. Some people may think, oh, I can agree with the Dems on this issue. Maybe some would say, I've gotten emails at WBOB.com, a clean bill, and then we need to deal with immigration. The question is, can you separate border security to funding sanctuary cities when you have DACA? Can the two be done separately? All right, let's get back to the phones at 222-TALK, 222-8255, email address at WBOB.com. Before we get back to the phones, just a couple of people have been asking. Tomorrow night, yes, at the Arlington Community Academy. This is for, I believe, the Greater Arlington Republican Club here in Jacksonville. I will be speaking tomorrow night. It's going to be at 6 p.m. The meeting's at 6:30 at the Arlington Community Academy at 5900 Fort Caroline Road. You can go to Facebook.com. Go ahead and get on that one. Look for the Greater Arlington Republican Club. I will be there tomorrow night. It is free and open to the public. Again, tomorrow night, Thursday night, around 6:30 it starts at the Arlington Community Academy. Let's go to the phones. Just point which one, and I'll go with that one there. Let's go with Everett. Everett, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. I had a trip down to Guatemala a couple of years ago. And one of my interpreters that was working with us, he was from Canada. He was from Nicaragua originally, brought into Canada as a child. His brother and several other children are still living in Canada, but he was removed from Canada because he had committed some type of crime and sent back to Nicaragua. And he was in his mid-20s when I met him. And he never did tell me what he did wrong to get booted out of Canada. But the Canadians are pretty liberal folks, and most of his family still lives in Canada. But they had him removed, even though he was what we would call a dreamer or a DACA child. So in regard to these people, those that have committed crimes and those who are not living up to the standards that we should aspire to, should be sent back home, I would think.
All right, so that's where, okay, so Everett says that's where we start. We start with the worst of the worst first. 222-TALK, 222-8255.
The best thing would be to string it out. Nobody was going to deport these people first. You go after the criminals, the felons, the others.
That's
get rid
to
of those sanctuary cities and all that.
So there you go. I mean, you go after the worst of the worst first. If you're going to compromise a bill, this is the question we're asking this morning. If there's going to be a compromise, is it more than just building a wall? Because they're already here. So if they're already here, I mean, a wall is just for future tense. I mean, that's fine. But what do you do about those that are here? Do you stop the benefits? Do you sit back and say, no, we're going to deport you all. We're going to give you amnesty. We need to go after sanctuary cities. We need to defund them. Where is the compromise here? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go to Henry. Henry, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning. Enjoy listening to you so far. All
hey, great.
I'm almost Tallahassee.
Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, real quick, prior caller talked about giving them the right to dock as the vote. The problem with that is that's only going to affect them having the right to vote or not having the right to vote in federal elections. And that's even if there's some question as to whether or not they can do that depending upon what your election supervisor does at your state level. We have sanctuary cities. Don't think for a minute that we don't have sanctuary election supervisors that will let them vote in federal elections. But the long game, I think, is to not give them the vote and to instead give them a permanent work permit. Give them something that the Democrats always tell us, they're just here to work. Fine, let them work. But no federal benefits after 3 months. After the law is signed, 3 months, no federal benefits, because we all know it's always about the money.
Right.
Whether it's working to earn money or getting federal benefits because you don't want to work. That would probably, to me, that's a more logical solution. And the other reason is there's so many people that try to do this legally from countries all over the world. They should really be the ones we're talking about. And in front of them in the line is our own fellow Americans that we should be talking about that don't still have jobs,
right,
are still without jobs. They should be at the front of the line in all cases.
Hey, Henry, are you going to Tallahassee based on the session?
No, absolutely not. I'm actually driving from Tallahassee, which is home, over here to Jacksonville on some real estate.
All right. Well, I had to go to Tallahassee Monday night. Everybody's showing up at the Promised Land over there because they got money to give away.
Session.
I know. I tried to play. Hey, Henry, thank you for the call. Call back in anytime, my friend. Henry brings up an interesting point. Sanctuary supervisor of elections.
I had not thought about that. That's a very good point.
You do know in South Florida, Miami, they actually advocate whether you're homeless. I mean, I've done stories on this for SunshineStateNews.com and also on the radio show. I'm not making this up, Roger. We've covered this. The city of Miami actually, if you're an illegal alien and you have no residency, they promote local government ID cards, and for you to be able to obtain a bank card. Because if it's backed by the city, anybody bounces checks, the city going to pay for the cost, but they also, the homeless people. If you're under the JTB Butler Boulevard, let's say they have one in Miami,
mm-hmm,
that's your address, it's not a viable address, you can still get a government ID and a bank card. Do you know what that means? Next is for you to obtain a voter ID card.
And you don't even have to be a citizen.
Well, that's... I'm just saying, I think that's the route they want to go.
Mm.
Question is some of those areas of how they determine that.
How can they determine whether you're a citizen or not?
Well, down there, who cares? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Folks, I'm not making this story up. Remember, the facts of this radio show are indisputable, okay? It's your opinion that counts, not mine. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go with, just hit the button, we'll go with them. Let's go with Jerry. Jerry, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. Just got a couple questions about abortion. You know, if a woman decides to have an abortion, the baby inside of her womb has no right to life. But if for some unforsaken circumstance that a woman is murdered, then they charge that individual with a double homicide, the woman and the unborn baby.
Right.
Now, what happens if a woman is going to have an abortion? She's on her way to an abortion clinic, and let's say that on the way there she's killed by a drunk driver. Then that drunk driver is going to be charged with double homicide. When I talk to people that are pro-choice, they can never give me a logical answer why that baby has a right, but when the woman wants to have an abortion, the baby has no right.
Jerry, let me ask you a question. When you've really, and I mean, I hate to say, well, forgive me for saying this. I don't mean this might, you've really dissected this. And I'm trying to use a better, I mean, you really have done a good job of the questions you just asked this morning. When you sit in front of, and let's say there's a plausible debate, usually that's not that way, but let's say there's a plausible debate between the pro-life committee and the pro-choice. If you go for the issue of partial birth abortion, you have that conversation with them, how do they react? How do they defend it?
You know, some people in pro-choice, it seems like they have steps. Well, it's okay up to this point, but it's not okay after that point. But then you might talk to another person, and their time frame might change. You know, there's some people that say, well, okay, after so many weeks, then the baby has the right to live. And then there's some people that say, well, it's all the way up till you know, nearly when the baby's born.
Right.
It's just like they're all over the place when you ask them about it.
Jerry, I think you're correct. Thank you. I think they're all over the place. 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is where you try to place this down. It doesn't matter what party you are. You just want consistency. But on the issue of if you've got a – then by the way, this is not a Supreme Court justice. This is Terry Lewis. I think he's out of Leon County. Circuit Court judge says that the law that was signed into the, which has been promoted for years about a 24-hour waiting period. I mean, you've got a parental consent. You got some areas of 24 hours. But this is a 24-hour waiting period that was signed into the law by Governor Rick Scott here, Roger. And he says, well, it's unconstitutional. And they say based on privacy. Okay, fine. Then if that's the case, then why not just knock down all the other, quote, anti-abortion or pro-life measures as well? Partial birth abortion? Why not just knock that out as well? 24-hour consent? I mean, why not just stop there?
I'm just hoping you don't give these guys any ideas.
No, they've already, I know, thank you. They've already thought about all this, trust me. 222-TALK, unplanned parenthood, too. 222-TALK, 222-8255. David, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed. On the bill of love that Donald Trump's talking about, when I first heard you say that this morning, that first thing that comes to my mind is scriptures, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. If you'll read that, I'm almost positive but that's what Donald Trump's talking about, the petty indecision that we have in Congress today between the two parties, between people in general, and we need to come together and get a solution to this, but in love. And love forgets things and doesn't hold grudges. It's like, and that's why he said he would pass it.
Isn't that 1 Corinthians 13 you're talking about? I don't know.
1 Corinthians 13, right. 4 through 8. And for gambling, I know people that are actually addicted to it, and they've told me that it gives them a false hope to think that they're going to break the people that are, like, going to a dog track or playing poker or something.
Right.
And they actually really believe that. So it gives them a false hope. That's why I highly disagree with gambling, because I know that people will take their money that supports your family, pays your bills, and they'll use it towards gambling, think they can make more money.
Okay, can
and
I?
It absolutely gives them a false hope.
Let me go back to the question with Trump, and again, without putting words in your mouth, you're assuming that he was referring to Corinthians when he brought that issue up. I'm just asking,
well,
I'm saying
that's what came to my heart
okay.
I first heard it.
Okay.
Yeah, no one knows what's in his heart other than the Lord himself. But
right.
Forrest Trump.
But okay.
I just feel, I've always felt that about Trump, that he's empowered by grace, and he's there for a reason, just as all presidents are. I'm not saying that all others aren't. But I believe he's on the right track, and when he says things, if people would look at it more scripturally in a lot of ways, they would understand that he's not an insane man. He's talking very truthfully.
All right.
So that's all I got to say about it.
David, appreciate the call. Okay, I just wanted to clarify that with him. That's why I just sometimes people call up and I'm listening. Of course, then I look at Roger and I get distracted.
Yeah.
Because we're looking at going back and forth during the class. So I just wanted to make sure that's what he was talking about. But you know, it's I never try to bring up, quote, scripture. When I go in the voting booths, I'm sorry, I don't wear a WWJD bracelet. I'm sorry, I don't think Jesus or God has an opinion on a zoning issue.
Yeah, I think our friend who just called in has a great heart when it comes to believing the best of people. But I really believe Donald Trump was trying to manipulate Democrats in Congress.
Yeah, I don't think this has, with all due respect, I don't think this has anything to do with scripture. I don't think sometimes that God puts people in there. I think man puts man in there. Remember, C.S. Lewis says, God created a perfect world. It was man that messed it up. I mean, go look at the book of Chronicles and Kings, and I mean, people that says, hey, I'm going to bail into the statutes, and those that, you know, I mean, if you want to use a biblical analysis, God didn't put those people, he allowed those people to get in there because that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
And they certainly paid a price for that. So I don't mean to be rude. I just don't think that everything is, I mean, he is in control. But I don't think of many things, he allows you to do a choice where you mess up. You can't, but you know, it's amazing. When you go, I play golf and I'm pretty good. But you ever notice on the golf course, God never gets the credit when things go well?
But he gets the blame.
Oh, him and his son, without it, all the ball shanks. Oh, they certainly get the blame. 222-TALK, 222-8255.
I feel having the Democrats in with us is absolutely vital, because this should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love.
That's what President Trump said yesterday, meeting with a bipartisan gathering with Democrats and Republicans. A DACA provision. I thought we're supposed to be forceful, protecting Americans. Nope. This should be about a bill of love. I want to know what you think on that. Is he going to cave? Is he going to cave? 222 Talk, 222-8255, FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
I 295 North, a pretty bad accident. Emergency vehicles are now on the scene at an accident at Collins Road, and the on-ramp is closed.
Mike Gallagher next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
A rainy day today, high around 70. More rain tonight with a low of 60. And currently, it's 63 here at WBOB. And here are our top stories today. A Tallahassee judge is declaring Florida's 24-hour abortion waiting period unconstitutional and is permanently blocking enforcement of the law. Governor Rick Scott signed the waiting period into law in 2015. The Trump administration has reversed course on drilling off the coast of Florida. The Trump administration says when it comes to drilling off Florida and the Gulf of Mexico, it's now off the table. Though the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the playoffs, Sports Illustrated is reporting the NFL still had a disastrous weekend when it comes to ratings. Bills-Jaguars game was down 10% versus last year's Dolphins-Steelers game. And President Trump met with a bipartisan gathering of the House and the Senate leaders on the DACA issue, signaling he's willing to compromise with Democrats to get something passed.
Did you see Lindsey Graham yesterday? He goes, because, you know, Lindsey's a big open borders guy. And I like Lindsey Graham personally. I think he's got a really cool story. And he's from South Carolina, so he's not that bad. But he goes, I've been called Lindsey Graham. Wait, Graham's, what is he called? Graham the Stiam. Lindsay Lopez. I just thought that was kind of funny coming from Gomer. But anyway, no, I like
well,
him.
Well, golly.
That's right. I differ with him, but I like him. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let me ask another question. If this amnesty goes through with the GOP on DACA, will this be the end? Here was Jonathan Swan from Axios says, this pretty much this bill should scare the GOP base.
Right, but the Republican leaders are still paralyzed with fear of alienating the base and alienating members who don't want to give amnesty without really big concessions in terms of a wall.
Now the question is, are you willing to have big concessions? That's the question. And what those concessions are? 222-TALK, 222-8255, email address ed@wbob.com. We've got a few minutes left, and we'll take some calls. We'll squeeze some in. Glenn, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. I just wanted to say I kind of agree with you in a way about the whole WWJD where voting's concerned, and not that, you know, I vote against what Jesus would want to do necessarily, but I think a lot of Christians take it from a personal perspective of what they should do and try to superimpose that on the country in a way. I don't remember Jesus ever going and saying, let's all gather and get the government to do what I'm asking you to do.
True.
That's a personal heart issue. I want to help refugees, but I think it's unwise to bring them into the country unvetted. If you can't vet them, you can't bring them in. But we can go there. We can set up camps. We can set up a place to take care of them. You bring them here and give them a bunch of benefits. How is that going to make them want to assimilate in any way? You know, there's just a lot of issues there. But I just think that's where a lot of Christians are, I feel like, confused, is that it's like they want to take their biblical perspectives and get the whole country to do what they themselves should do.
Glenn, let me ask you a question. This is another fascinating one that I've always been wanting to ask. Roger, I may ask Glenn, you can jump in. Now, I understand what Glenn is saying there. I think some things are quiet. You should be determined by you, the Bible or the Constitution. There's quite a many issues out there that deal with government. But Glenn, on the state of Israel, here's a fascinating one. You know, God talks about taking care of his own children, the state of Israel. Biblically, that is authorized. Constitutionally, it is not, when you think about it. Is that a dilemma for some Christians out there?
Yeah, I think that's a tough one. I think since we were founded on Christian principles, and a lot of us in the country are Christians, and a lot of us want to do that. But going back to what's wise, I think that from a country political perspective, us supporting them in that region helps us in a lot of other ways that aren't necessarily biblical. And that's where I go back to the fact that you should do what's wise. And there's a lot of dilemmas going on with folks these days. Like, I talked to a customer of mine the other day, and they were like, a friend of theirs was voting for Roy Moore. And they said, well, you're voting for a child molester, which we don't know that he is. But
But you've got that character of someone versus what they might vote or not vote for. So you're choosing between a Democrat who might open borders and continue with abortion versus a guy that you think is, you know, immoral. But from the standpoint of what is going to happen for the country and what I want to happen, I got to take the guy that's going to vote in a direction that's going to try to help save the unborn, protect the borders, and do those things, really regardless of his character. And as a Christian, I don't like, you know, those kind of character issues, but it's the broader picture.
I think you bring up an interesting point. Thank you. 222-8255. I'm just saying, through a biblical way, if you want to go down this road, you take care of the state of Israel. Pray for the peace. But constitutionally, I'm sorry, folks, there's nothing authorized to be giving taxpayer money to the state. By the way, at church, we give money to the Friends of Israel. We do it through our church giving.
Yeah.
I'm just asking the question because some people, oh, Ed, you sound like an anti. No, it's not anti-Semite. Give me a break.
Yeah, I have
constitutionally. I'm just saying it's not authorized to be given money through foreign aid to the state of Israel.
You know what? I've never had that dilemma personally. I never thought about it, but you are.
That's the reason why I bring these up, so you can think about it.
You do have a very important point. I do believe that there are things in the Bible. God blesses people who blesses Israel, and we see prophetically there are going to be certain things going on in Israel that we want to be behind. But I think at the same time, it really benefits people to be educated on it because there's a reason why all these Palestinians are upset. About 500,000 of them were displaced when Israel became a state.
It wasn't Israel's fault. Jordan's fault.
I know it was, but, you know, at least be aware of the situation. A lot of people are oblivious to it. I think the solution is in technology. There's a lot of undeveloped land area that currently.
Technology?
Yeah.
What are you, Napoleon Dynamite's brother? I love you. Remember the movie? But I love technology.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
If the Palestinians need a homeland, I think there's a lot of land out there that.
So much land.
That we could, that with the aid of technology could become, habitable.
I'm still lost with the technology.
Well, right now it's desert, so people can't live in the desert necessarily, but if you get ways to desalinize the water from the Med and that kind of
thing. Why is it that Israel could get all this done, but many of the Arab communities could not get this done?
They're blessed by God.
Wow, they're a little smart. By the way, I'm just saying this is look at Lawrence of Arabia. All right, I mean it was a terrific movie. At the end, the Arabs, they couldn't get along with other Arabs. Who's going to control the power? Who's going to control the city? I mean, so it's a fascinating story out of there and all that. By the way, somebody was emailing me. He says, Ed, he goes, when people mention refugees, you know what they're talking about?
Me and you, right?
No, Lauryn Hill, Praz, and Wycliffe Jean. 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is FM 101.1 AM 600 Talk Radio. WBOB.
Big problems on the roads this morning. 295 on the northbound ramp to Collins Road. Very, very backed up. The on-ramp is closed right now. We're seeing a lot of congestion on the traffic.
The Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
It's going to be a rainy day today with a high around 70. Tonight, more rain with a low of 60, 63 right now here at WBOB.
Man, am I going to be fair to take Pat's call?
Oh, wow. We've got literally less than a minute.
I got a minute. Pat, man, you guys, that's Roger's fault. Okay. So,
call in earlier tomorrow.
Yeah, Pat, I want to take your call, but it wouldn't give you enough time. To discuss it, and I'm just saying it wouldn't be fair to you, not me. It wouldn't be fair to you, but let's do it tomorrow. 222-TALK for tomorrow. 222-8255. I promise you, I'll take your call. I'll put you above everybody else tomorrow. I'll have an affirmative action place. Let's put it that way. 222-TALK. Put other people in front of everybody else based on an issue. Email address ed@wbob.com. Don't forget tomorrow night I'll speak at the Greater Arlington Republican Club at the Arlington Community Center, which is going to be on 5900 Fort Caroline Road around 6:30. Tomorrow night at Arlington Community Academy. Roger, good to see you. Thankful to God every day for the show. Thankful to many of you that listen to this show. You can listen to any other show, but you choose this one, and we are always grateful. Remember, the facts that we lay out, the facts are indisputable. We'll see you, good Lord willing, tomorrow morning right here on FM 101.1 AM 600 Talk Radio, WBOB.